is On the Road with Dane, live here in the Allstate Skyline Studios. And today we spent a couple more minutes on the road than we would have liked. The traffic out there, I was listening to Bob Kessler. He was keeping me apprised of all the places to go and the places to avoid. So I appreciate his traffic, his news, and his pacing as we got into this one. So a great show we've got on tap for you today. Scott Catoon did an amazing impression, and I think I am going to follow. You know, like Harry Carey, you know, there's guys who are Harry Carey impressionists that really are kind of just doing their impression of Will Ferrell doing Harry Carey, but it isn't really the actual Harry Carey. Well, I think I'm going to follow the Scott Catoon version of me. I like the way that he did it. It's kind of the soft and kind of dulcet tone, so we'll try to keep that up as we get through the show. We are going to have a nice little blend of things. We're going to have Scott Paddock on. He's the president of Chicagoland Speedway Route 66 Raceway for the Super Chevy Show coming up down there. It's coming up September 16th. That is tomorrow, right? So we'll get Scott on at some point before the end of the program today. We're going to have a lot of food. There are so many festivals out here, and it is the road trip destination for so many people around Chicagoland. Not only that, but also the country as they fly in to participate in the Fulton Market Harvest Fest, which is going on. We've got Chicago Gourmet coming up. We're going to have Corey Morris. He is the resident champion for Cachone 555. He'll be joining us a little bit later on the program. Right after that first break, Tyler Florence, he travels the country in so many different road trips with Great Food Truck Race. Got a new hit show on the Food Network, Bite Club. They were here in Chicago recently, and he is traveling from city to city around the country with that. We'll talk with him. Meathead, in the service of not only great grilling, ribs, barbecue, all that kind of stuff, is at a tailgate as we speak, and he's going to break away for a little bit. We're going to join him about 2:30. He's going to come on and talk a little bit about AmazingRibs.com, the best site on the planet for all things, not only tailgating, certainly a lot of that you'll get it, but also grilling, barbecue equipment, tips and all sorts of things, recipes as well. So stay tuned for that. The Potash Twins are going to be joining us as well. They are in town, and they are at Fulton Market Harvest Fest as well. They are a phenomenon, right? They are the Twin Horns of Joy jazz players, but also kind of equal food stars in their own right, and they're in town. Exciting, very fun to have them in with us as well. And Sunny Anderson is, remember, she was kind of missing in action, MIA probably, researching and developing that next great invention. She'll be joining us to talk tailgating as well. So we've got a lot. We're going to take a break. We'll come back. Tyler Florence is going to be joining us. You know him. You love him. So stay tuned for that. On the Road with Dane here on 720 WGN.
Hey, this is Tyler Florence, and you are on the road with Dane on WGN.
720 WGN, on the road with Dane, live here in the Allstate Skyline Studio, high atop Chicagoland, and on the line with us, excited to have one of the guys, 22 years on the Food Network. He is an author, he is a chef, he's a director, he's a producer, he's a star. He is always traveling, and his vehicle of choice is either, you know, some of the top food trucks in the country with a Great Food Truck Race, or his first car, the 66 Comet, or his latest hit on the Food Network, Bite Club, the one and only Chef Tyler Florence. Welcome to WGN.
Dane, I'm so glad to be back on the radio with you, man. How are you? Are you good?
I am good. I'm good. And here's the thing. So you have to ask me if I'm good, and I am good, and that's great. And the listeners, are, I already know how you are because Wolf It Down number 13 came out, and you covered everything from the first day of school, the backyard garden, behind the scenes at Food Network. You covered it all. It feels like we, you know, we're like neighbors or something. I know it is for a lot of the fans as well.
Oh, thank you so much. Appreciate it. You know, we're having so much fun putting Wolf It Down together. You know, it's a great series. You and I talked last summer on the radio together, and I can't remember what episode we had just put out. I think it was like 10 or 11. So it's been a couple of weeks. But yeah, it's sort of a daily little, you know, peek into my POV of kind of what's in front of me. And I love telling stories, and every day we have, you know, a new little food adventure that we're going on, and my schedule is a script, and there's always kind of an interesting show behind the show story to tell, and I think we're doing a pretty good job of that. So
it's one
really
thing,
happy with that. I appreciate you keeping up with it.
Yeah, it was one thing to kind of share the stories, but also you do it in a really cool kind of artsy way on the video side, so kudos to you for that, and tell the listeners, of course, to check that out.
We'll sit down
as well. But here's the thing. Okay, so Bike Club, and you have been around 22 years, we mentioned it. You have seen and been a part of kind of every different kind of food television incarnation that they've got on Food Network. network. And, you know, sometimes this show, and it kind of strikes me, here's the cool things about it, is it's got all the things that you know and love and people appreciate about a show like Chopped. You've got great chefs. They come in. You've got secret ingredients. You've got the drama, right? You've got timing and all that kind of stuff. But here's what you do is you take it to the cities and you allow them to have sort of, in a way, a home game, but then they're in kind of thrown into a strange restaurant. And then they bring the ingredients themselves. And then also you get those chefs in as judges. I mean, it's a cool concept. How did you guys come up with it?
Thank you so much. You know, it was an idea that was presented to me maybe a year ago. And we get a chance to kind of sort through concepts and start plotting, you know, the next couple of shows every 2 years or so. Like, hey, what do we want to do now? And this idea was floating around, and we really liked it a lot. And so we shot a test pilot last year in Nashville, and it went really, really well. Everybody loved it, and it's still kind of a work in progress because it's hard to make a hit. But I think we've got all the right ingredients to do that. Like, it just feels like a very fun show. So Bite Club, you know, we're taking it on the road, and we've actually plotted this out where we can get like 10 seasons of just great, you know, local cooking competitions between some of the best chefs in the country, which I'm so excited about. And you're right. We show up in their hometown, and so the chefs coming to, say, like New York City or Los Angeles, and they're in a studio, and then they're competing against other chefs they don't really know. Like, this is very local. It's very personal. And so we get a chance to explore the city. We get a chance to explore the chefs' restaurants. We get a chance to get to know them personally, and then they all know each other. I think that's such an interesting element to the show itself, is like this friendly, you know, kind of like ribbing thing that kind of happens amongst like buddies and different cities and stuff like that. And we just had such a great time doing it. So yeah, so episode two was on the Savannah episode. Yeah. And the show is, it just feels like it's just a lot of fun. Like, it's a party you want to go to.
Well, here in Chicago, and we've got a great, and you guys recognize that and paid some really nice compliments, and I know we appreciate that, you know, but you've got such a diversity, not only of the chefs, and you got to keep the ingredients interesting. Is there, you know, what is the thought process? You get them and they're, you know, from some totally different places. You know, you have, you know, Spanish, of course, and then Frontier, which is, you know, crazy any animal you can find, and, you know, and they got Chris Pandel. And so do you try to take guys that they're all talented for sure in their own discipline, and kind of you just have some diversity as far as the kind of cuisine and the plates they'll make?
Yeah, we want it to be really interesting. I mean, because you know, you never know, like where, you know, there's great discipline across the board, and we've had sushi chefs competing against barbecue chefs, and I just think that's really interesting in a way. So it's not like just like, you know, like top level fine dining chefs competing against each other. Cause I think when you get different chefs from different restaurants with different cooking techniques, they all kind of come to the table and you see this beautiful diversity. So it's really about the camaraderie of the chefs locally, in a city, and their friendship really, really shining through. So there's a lot of respect. There's also a high level of like judging, because you know because I think the chefs want to make their city look really, really good. So I think everyone's kind of got their A game going on, which is wild. So you'll get an Italian chef going up against a Japanese chef, going up against like a chef with a Thai restaurant, and it's just so interesting how in every city there's this like really beautiful cross discipline, cross culinary landscape, like different flavor profiles come together, and it's so incredibly interesting.
Yeah, and the different thing about it too is, you know, they get an opportunity to cook in their hometown. Maybe it's not a restaurant they're super familiar with all the time, or certainly don't work there, right? But they get there, but they are in their hometown as opposed to off at the mothership. And you gave some great kind of behind the scenes stuff about Food Network and the headquarters and things like that. And I don't know that there's anybody better doing it right now in television, or certainly in Food Network, that gets out. That's kind of in your DNA, right? You get out in the community, you get out cities all across the country, you deal with people, you interact with people. Was that part of the reason that you decided to take it, or they thought you were perfect for it, is because this is what you do?
I love to travel. I always have. I mean, I have this wanderlust ever since I was a young kid, and getting a chance to get on the road and go spend a few more days in great cities all throughout the country. I love doing it because I feel like I know most cities in America very, very intimately. And so to kind of go back and check out some good folks in St. Louis and see what's going on there, or Cleveland, or Buffalo, or Asheville, North Carolina, or Miami, I just love traveling because I get there and go, oh, yeah, I've been here a couple of times. I know these people. I know the chef. I know this restaurant. And it just feels really, really good to be that intimate with so many different places across the country. So I guess I was just the right guy for the show. And so to get a chance to go, you know, go hang out with colleagues. And again, some of these colleagues you see at like the James Beard Awards, or you see at or you haven't had a chance to meet and you've just seen them, read about them before. So it's just, or you follow them on Instagram. And so to get a chance to go kind of see them face to face and see what's going on. And also some chefs that people have never heard of before. We've had quite a few chefs that were just, you know, in their early 20s.
Yeah.
That we want to kind of throw into the mix to see how, you know, like the next generation is could compete in levels like that. And it's just, it's so great. It's just such a fun, it's a fun show. I'm in love with it. I love, you know, when Food Network puts, you know, all their muscle behind something like this, it's so great to watch. And I just think this is going to be a monster hit.
Yeah, and here's the thing is you pick people, too, some of them that have kind of the identity of that city as well, and it's neat to see some props given out to barbecue chefs as well. They don't always get it. You mentioned a lot of times Chopped or fine dining chefs, sure, they can do anything. But here you're taking people from the community and even from disciplines that maybe don't get all of that exposure when it comes to, you know, on the chef side, and to have them included I think is really great. It's Thursday nights on the Food Network. I know timing is a little bit tight today, so but give the social media people can follow. I know you're sharing all about it. And then also how they can get to see Wolf It Down as it comes out each week.
Oh, thanks so much. Wolf It Down is our Twitter series, and we're launching somewhere between Wednesday and Friday every week. It's definitely like an art project for me. So it's like nights and weekends and that kind of stuff. As a matter of fact, we just finished an episode this week where we're doing kind of I'm home for a couple of weeks before I start traveling again. So we're kind of like getting in the kitchen and cooking. So I'm doing this fun thing called Chef Fix. It's like this little sub story with Wolf It Down, and yesterday, 2 days ago, I got a chance to FaceTime with Marsha Dorsey, who's Jack Dorsey's mom. Jack Dorsey is the founder and CEO of Twitter. So I got a chance to like FaceTime with his mom, and Chef Fix is about, you know, about fixing culinary problems when people can't get something right. Send me a message, send me a video, and then in my own home studio, I'll just bang it together. So I made a lemon meringue pie for her. That's this week's story. It's going to go up later this afternoon sometime. And then Bite Club. Bite Club is such a great show, guys. I want everybody to check it out. It's going to be Thursdays at 9, 8 Central. So it's going to be 8 o'clock in Chicago. And it is such a great show. It's so much fun. And the very first episode that we put out last week was in Chicago. So Chicago rolled out the red carpet for us in such a big way. And it is one of my favorite cities in the world, hands down. There's so much fun stuff to do, and the city's just so beautiful, and it's beaming with new fresh culinary energy. And it's a very, very exciting city.
Yeah, and the show itself, Bite Club, it is fun. It has all kind of the drama and the competition that you'd look for in one of those shows, but it is a blast, right? Because it's people even judging their friends and colleagues here in the city. It's great stuff. Thursday nights on the Food Network, Bite Club. Check it out with Tyler Florence, and that's it. I'm gonna have to get a hold of you for Chef Fix at how to make a decent holiday sauce. I just can't do it. So
let's do that. I'll FaceTime you, right? And if you could make one, how about this? Let's do it. Let's set it up for next week. So let's just take a little video of you making a hollandaise sauce, right? Because the cool thing about it is like you do it and give me your recipe. I'll use your same recipe and make it amazing. I'm not going to bring, you know, truffle dust to the table here. I'll use your exact recipe. I may use the quantities and the technique might be different, but I'll use the recipe. And I'll make it great. I promise. I swear to God, it's like a party trick. It's fun. It'll be cool. So shoot a little video for that, and then send it to me, and you got my contact information. We'll do a FaceTime thing, and then I'll make it. It'll be great.
Oh, that's great stuff. Definitely check it out, Tyler. Thanks for taking time and jumping on. Good luck with the new show, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right, buddy. Thanks so much.
720 WGN on the road with Dane, live here in the Allstate Skyline Studio, high atop Chicagoland, and I can see throughout the neighborhoods in the greater Midwest, because we are very high. I can see little plumes of smoke happening all around in backyards everywhere, and some larger ones that are going to be taking place in the parking lots of America's either sports venues, football stadiums, you name it, any place a tailgate is happening as we enter into tailgate season. You know that they're going to have to bring not only an essential ingredient, isn't just the grill and the food and the beer, but they're also going to have a laptop or some kind of computer connection so they can get a hold of the the number one site when it comes to grilling barbecue and anything related to that. AmazingRibs.com and the man behind that and best-selling New York Times author, the book Meathead, the science behind great grilling and barbecue is Meathead Golden. Meathead, welcome to WGN.
Hey, good talking to you again, Dane. How you doing?
I am okay now. Is this the time where, you know, I imagine you in sort of kind of a, you know, kind of a NASA-esque kind of command center, right? Where you've got all of these different things. Your chair is on a swivel, or maybe you're on one of those sort of Cirque du Soleil kind of bouncing things where you can get from one computer to answer a question, spring over to the next one. Is that the way it is this time of year?
I keep a close eye on the website question and answers. Every page on the website has a place for questions, and they come in, and they're the darndest questions. Sometimes they're really tough. Sometimes they're really easy. But we've got, like, 8 paid moderators, and we're there to help. And there's just a lot of great information and recipes. And if you're tailgating, there's a checklist of everything you need to remember to take with you when you go tailgating. But, you know, there's also couchgating. when the bears are away, we couchgate, you know. So it's barbecue season all year round at my house.
You know what, it really is. And I know that, you know, you've got probably people that enjoy the site and the information, everything you have to offer from all around the world, you know, possibly the universe. But here, I think we do it. I think we do it as well as anyone. I mean, I really do think there isn't necessarily a, there may be times when maybe everybody is, you know, is grilling or everybody is paying attention to the grill and barbecuing. But I think Chicagoans basically as a rule, I think we grill all the time.
You know, the hardcore among us don't let snow stop us. In fact, I just love going to the Green Bay games at Soldier Field in the middle of December. I'd like to say I go to a playoff game at Soldier Field in January, maybe this year. Who knows?
Exactly. See, look at that. Who knows? It was kind of a tepid positivity. I'm feeling maybe that you're open to maybe the event that the Bears, the much improved Bears, at least on paper, right, could be there.
Yeah. I'm ready for it.
Things late in the season where you use your grill and heating element not only to cook great food but also to sustain life, right? When it's really,
well,
really,
you know, there's an ancient connection between football and cooking. I mean, the original name for the cooking surface on your grill, that grate that you cook on, it was originally called a gridiron. It was a iron grid, and that it looks just like a gridiron that the football team plays on with, you know, line markers and everything. So there's just a natural, and what do they play with? A pig skin. I mean, it's just right there.
Here's the thing, and let the listeners know, we're talking with Meathead Goldwyn, he of AmazingRibs.com. And I will attest, and I'll say it for the listeners too, there's a lot of great people out there that do great things, make great food, share great recipes. But I don't know if there's anyone that is as much of a historian of the grilling and barbecue world, and of course, a great history in sports and all that kind of stuff with tailgating. So you want to be, I know you're going to be caught up, everyone, we're all going to be caught up in the moment of the game and enjoying it, but sometimes, especially after a Bears game, the best part of the day is the tailgate. So let's talk about some of the things that you can do and bring to the tailgate that will make that as good as it can be. You know, that'll be a blowout as far as a victory for you and your friends in the parking lot.
But, you know, I mean, it depends on when the game is. If it's a nooner, you can get there. I think they open the gate at like 8 o'clock. Now, we're talking Bears here, but Northwestern is also right in our backyard. And, you know, depending on where you're listening, Superstation here, everybody here is WGN. You got to, first of all, check with your local team's website, because some teams don't allow charcoal. Some teams don't even allow tailgating. So you got to check and see what's allowed and get out there early. And what you do is when, before you leave, you break a bunch of eggs and put them into a bowl and whip them all up with a whisk and pour them into an empty milk bottle. And you throw that in your cooler, and when you get there, you just pour some right into a pan on your grill, and you got eggs for breakfast. And you can just start eating and relaxing and, you know, make your Bloody Mary. Hey, Bloody Marys, I like to rim them with barbecue rub. We've got a great recipe, Meathead's Magic Memphis Dust, that's and awesome. You rub the edge just like you would a tequila drink, you know, you put a rub barbecue, and then your swivel stick is a pork rib. Just cut up a slab of ribs, and there you got your swivel stick with the rub on the rim. And, you know, and then you can, you know, eat before the game. When you come back after the game, let all the crowd get caught in traffic. Sit there and cook up dinner, you know? I mean, make a day of it.
Some of the things, these kind of, I guess you'd call them hacks or whatever, it seems so simple, but they're genius, right? Because I love the barbecue rub as that salt around the rim of the glass. I think that in and of itself is genius. People, I know listeners are going to be doing that for sure. When it comes to the meat that you bring to it, you know, you're going to have, if you're a serious tailgater, you're going to have a little bit of time. So you've got some choices there on the things that you can do. But what do you suggest as far as that isn't going to take too much time out of, you know, you don't want to spend the entire time slaving over the food.
Right.
You want to get there and enjoy.
Yeah. And you also want to have good food too. You know what I like to do? It's an ancient tradition amongst tribes. You eat your enemy for strength. So, I mean, if the Bears are playing Green Bay, I'm doing something with cheese. I'm doing grilled cheese or nachos or maybe bratwurst. You know, there's a great brat tub in beer with mustard recipe on my website. If we're playing the Seahawks like we are this weekend, chicken wings, grill them up. Or here's a cool idea. Raise your hand if you love fried chicken. Everybody out there, raise your hand. Oh, yeah, all the hands are up in radio.
Yep, yep, yep.
Everybody loves fried chicken, but nobody cooks it at home because it just makes a mess. It sets off an alarm on the smoke alarm. It gets on the burners. It gets on the cat. Take a cast iron Dutch oven, throw it on your grill, and pour in your oil, and you can fry your chicken outdoors or at the game. Make beautiful fried chicken, and nobody cares if it makes a spattering mess. It's not going to set off any alarms, and you can just set the chicken on the other side of the grill and keep it warm there. So you play the Seahawks, you have chicken wings. You can either grill them or fry them. The Bears have the game with the Cards this year. Cardinals, we'll grill turkey. The Dolphins, fish tacos. Another option is there's regional hot dogs. The New York hot dog is different than the Chicago hot dog.
Yeah.
So if you're playing the Giants or the Jets, you cook New York hot dogs. If you play in Seattle, you cook the Seattle dog or the Cincinnati dog or the Detroit dog. And I got recipes for all of them on the website.
Yeah.
So it's fun.
Yeah, I'm thinking if it's the Cardinal, maybe you go with maybe a smaller bird. Maybe you go with squab or something like that. You go.
Oh, now you're talking. There you go.
Maybe a Cornish game hen or some of those things. The idea that you can do fried chicken at a game, I think, is really, really cool. And you talk about being able to put it on the grill. And I know for a lot of places, they don't allow charcoal. That's one of the things that we've talked about. Plus, you know, it's just it's hot and it's hard. You know, you can't make it cool really quick. And so a lot of people go with the propane. What are some of the things? Because this is it. And I know. You know, one of your great guys, Max Good, does a lot of the things with the gadgets as far as trying to get the supplies that work. Of course, the food itself has to be mobile, easy to make, easy to enjoy, and also awesome. The equipment, right, has to be the same way.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I cook on both charcoal and gas, but charcoal is my favorite most of the time. But for tailgating, gas is so much more convenient. You're not going to take your charcoal grill and stick it under the car where it explode the gas tank. You know, a gas grill, you can just switch off, give it a 15-20 minute cool down, and throw it in the back of the car or in the trunk. So gas is an easier way to go. You mentioned Max. We have Max Good, full-time employee. All he does is test grills and smokers. He's the only one in the world with that job description. Is that the coolest job? Testing grills and smokers.
That's awesome.
And he's tested hundreds of tailgate grills, and he ranks them. He rates them in detail. You can see his ratings on AmazingRibs.com, which ones he recommends for tailgating. At the end of the year, he picks his top eight. This year, it was top eight tailgaters. They're called Pitmaster Awards, and you can see what's there and the prices and stuff there. Some good options out there. So if you haven't bought your tailgate grill, come down and check Max's ratings.
Well, here's the thing too, Meathead, and we've got, for the listeners, I know that they're going to want to know this. They're texting in right now. Is Max Good? Is that his real name, Max Good?
Awesome. Yeah, that's his real name. I call him Max Headroom. Speaking of headroom, that goes way over almost everybody in the audience's head. You know about Max Headroom?
Well, mentioned already. He was an MTV television personality.
I think he was an MTV character. Yes,
and we'll have a picture of him up on the website WGNRadio.com. but it's so convenient, right? His job is to determine whether products are good or maybe even great for AmazingRibs.com. Yeah. Think about how different his life path would have been if, let's say, his name was Barry Bad, you know, or something like that. he'd be working for the health department or something like that. So, Meathead, give the information of the different pages there where people can get on there and get some of the specifics about things to do. But it isn't just for tailgating. Obviously, you're grilling, you're making food. You can do that anywhere and for any reason. And give some of those pages on the site that people should not miss.
Well, we really are divided in a couple of sections. Recipes, technique. We teach a lot of basic technique. How to set up your grill. It's really important to set up a two-zone system. What kind of woods to use for smoking. There's a lot of science. We work with scientists, and we've busted a lot of myths that everybody thinks are true. You don't need to soak your wood chips. We explain why. And this, for tailgating, if you just go to the homepage, there's a link on the homepage to our tailgate section. Straightforward. But be careful. People tell me, I went to your website to check it out, and 3 hours later, I emerged bleary-eyed, and my boss almost killed me. So beware, you can get sucked in. Don't go there unless you've got a couple hours to kill.
Even AmazingRibs.com, in moderation, there's a disclaimer, right? You know, you have to be in a well-ventilated area and all that. And lastly, too, for those people, the book, it is done phenomenally, and that's a testament not only to you and the staff and the history and all the things that you build into it. Tell people how they can get their hands on a copy of the book.
Oh, it's in all the bookstores. Southern Living Magazine called it one of the 100 best cookbooks of all time. Man. Right up there with Julia Child and Jacques Pepin and you name it. So it's a good book. I'm very proud of it. It's a labor of love. It took me years to do. And it's got everything you need to know about barbecue and grilling.
That is high praise, and that high praise is all you need to know. Listeners, I'm telling you, to get your hands on the book, get to the site. It has everything that you're going to need to be a successful and very satisfied griller and barbecue person. So, Meathead, thanks so much for what you're doing. Thanks for taking time out. Thanks for arming our listeners with everything that they need to know. And thanks for jumping on the show today.
Oh, always fun to talk to you. And listeners also. Listen to Dane. He knows what he's doing. He knows how to cook.
Thanks. I just know how to listen to you.
Hi, I'm Jamie Bissonette, and you're on the road with Dane at WGN.
720 WGN, on the road with Dane, live here in the Allstate Skyline Studio, high atop Chicagoland. And on the line with us now, we've got one of America's great chefs, and he is in town for what is getting to be one of Chicago's great events, the Fulton Market Harvest Fest. He is a Food and Wine Best New Chef. He's a James Beard Award winner in great restaurants, acclaimed places like Little Donkey, Toro in Boston, New York City, Bangkok, Copa. He does it all, and also writes a book now and then as well, the one and only Chef Jamie Bissonette. Welcome to WGN.
Thanks for having me in Chicago.
Yeah. Well, Jamie, it's great to have you. Obviously, I've talked to you a little bit here and there at different events around the country. It's great to have you here in Chicago, and you have traveled all over the place. You've got restaurants in different spots around the world when it comes to Chicago. I know you're here to support Steph and all the things that we're doing and to have a great time with some friends, but what do you think of Chicago?
I think, you know, right now Chicago has, in my opinion, the most interesting dining scene in America. There's just so much going on. There's so much camaraderie. There's so many interesting things. Like, if I could just go to one place every month to eat, I think Chicago would be it for a while.
And then when you look at the restaurant scene here and you look at the places that you've got places, and as far away as Bangkok as well, I mean, as far as trying to figure out, you know, what diners like, I mean, the restaurant business is tough. We talk about it all the time. It is one of those things I think you got to be hardwired to do. Is there any thought to when you're here and you see just how well received a lot of the chefs and certainly the restaurants from all kinds of diverse cuisines? Do you ever think of maybe putting a place here?
Absolutely not. I love coming here. I don't want to have to work when I'm here, man.
Nice.
I just want to come here and hang out.
All right. I don't know if we would call it, and you are a hard worker, and let the people know, too, running those restaurants is tough. And also, too, is you are out there promoting the brand and supporting the food and doing that on a regular basis all around the country. But I don't know if they'd call, at least the way that last week we had Stephanie on and she described some of the things that were going on. I don't know if you'd consider it work. I guess. If not, you've got the greatest job in the world. So talk a little bit about what people are going to see and enjoy from you this weekend at Harvest Fest.
All right. So this weekend I'm going to do a cookbook signing. I'm going to do a demo with my friend Ming Tsai. I'm one of the main stages. Last minute, Bruce from L.A., Bruce Common, and I are going to play a quick little pop-up band this afternoon and jam out some things on the stage. And we're going to have an after party at Momotaro. So we'll be around supporting, having fun. I heard that there's a dunk tank. There's a couple of contests and some, like, pretty nefarious punishments for the losers that Steph has in mind. So it should be a fun weekend.
Yeah, she is totally. She's devised so many different things. And for the listeners, too, there's a great kid zone. So if you bring your kids, you can go ahead and have them kind of there while you enjoy some of the libations and food from some of America's favorite chefs. Yeah, it's going to be a blast. And she had mentioned, and Ming has been, you know, a longtime guest on the show. We've interviewed him lots of times. So it's cool to have kind of that Boston contingent there. Do you guys feel like you're going to, and she had said that you guys are very funny together, which I think it sounds awesome. So are you guys going to share a little bit of Boston with Chicago at the event?
Oh yeah, inevitably we're going to definitely have to talk a little bit about some sports, some rivalries, some, you know, some clear leaders in the industry of hockey, things like that.
All right, definitely. And then Jamie, too, talk a little bit about the book. You're going to be signing it. Share with the listeners, you know, what they're going to be able to get from you. I know you'll be able to talk with them a little bit, take some pictures and things like that. But to take what it is that you do on the restauranting side, because you are, I think, first and foremost, a restaurateur. A lot of the celebrity chef stuff that you do is there as well. But writing a book, that's a different thing.
Yeah, writing a book was interesting. But we wrote an approachable book called The New Charcuterie Cookbook, Exotic Meats to Make and Cure at Home. So it's kind of like I took all the stuff that we do at the restaurants with charcuterie and sausage making, and I wrote it in a way that, like, even my father could make the recipe. So it's really approachable and down to basics. So hopefully people will come buy the book. I can give you some more recipes and hang out and talk. And I just like bantering. So please, if anybody's down, come say hi.
Yeah, right. Talk a little Blackhawks with you. So we'll put a link up for all the different events up at WGNRadio.com. And for listeners who want to keep up with all your adventures as you kind of create them, do you want to share your social media?
Yeah. It's at Jamie Biss, just pretty much my name. And you'll be able to see what I'm doing and how I'm misbehaving throughout the weekend by looking me up there.
All right, Jamie, look forward to seeing it. I know you're going to have a blast. I know a lot of the fans, listeners, and kind of event goers are going to have fun hanging out with you at Harvest Fest this weekend as well. And thanks for jumping on the show today.
Pleasure. Thanks for having me. Hopefully I'll see you this weekend.
Hey, you guys, this is Ezra Potash.
And Adiv Potash.
And we're the Potash Twins, and you're on the road with Dane.
On WGN.
WGN 720 WGN on the road with Dane live here in the Allstate Skyline studio, high atop Chicagoland and in studio. They travel the country making music and food with friends and fans on Bravo TV's Beats and Bites, Travel Channel's Southern Road Trip. They are the twin horns of joy, Ezra and Adiv, the Potash Twins. Welcome to WGN.
Thank you so much for having us, Dane. We're so excited to be here. And I'm looking at Navy Pier and I couldn't be more excited to be in Chicago.
Yeah, and enjoying the view. Not everybody, if you did it as a phone call, you don't get the view included in it, but you got a chance to check it out. So the digs are nice. In you're looking at social media, certainly the stuff that you do on TV, you're everywhere, and so it's great to have you actually here in Chicago, here in studio.
Great, and obviously great to see you. We see you everywhere at all the whenever we're here for Chicago for food events, and it's great to finally be in studio with you.
You guys are all around the country. I mean, you don't stop. You're constantly doing stuff, but you know, you do find yourself, and maybe it's like, you know, when you get a certain car, it looks like everybody on the road has that same car. You see it all the time, but it seems like you guys are spending a lot of time in Chicago. I know you will be at least this month.
Definitely. So we live in LA full time, but it's really, really hard in the food world to avoid Chicago. It's one of the...
That's very true.
It's definitely one of the biggest food cities in the world, so it's undeniable, but...
I might say it's my favorite food city in the country.
Wow. Yeah.
Is that a... That's clickbait right there.
Well, no. I mean, it's high praise, you know, but you're in good company. I mean, there are so many people who agree with you. Obviously, we've got the James Beard Awards here. Yes. We see you guys here for that. We've got some great festivals. You've got that huge diversity of cuisines, everything from barbecue to kind of anything. You could spin the globe, put your finger on it, boom, you'll find it at a high level here in Chicago. So you're not alone, but it's great to hear it.
Absolutely. And the thing about Chicago food that sets everything everything apart for me, just from like a behind the scenes view of it, is that every chef that's here, they don't just have one amazing restaurant. They have two or three amazing restaurants. So the city really does support them, and these restaurateurs have amazing visions for what the food city of Chicago should be.
Yeah. Well, you think about people who kind of identify with the city. You got Rick Bayless. He's got, I don't know, three or four different places, right? Steph Eisert, who is, we're going to talk about it in just a second, has got at least three great restaurants. And so let's talk about it. She was just on with us last week on the show. She is the co-founder. It's one thing to be an Iron Chef. She never stops. She's won Top Chef.
Yeah.
She's won
Iron Chef. Hasn't she won?
She's won it all.
Name a title in the food world. If she doesn't have it, she's getting it.
I don't know. She needs like Michael Buffer to do one of those boxing things. The undisputed, undefeated, that kind of stuff. And here she goes, has, I guess, lots of spare time, you know, with the kids and the family and all the restaurants to create an event that has fast become one of Chicago's favorites, Harvest Fest.
Definitely. Yeah. We're so honored to be here for that. I mean, Harvest Fest is celebrating the Fulton Market neighborhood of Chicago, which is kind of where a lot of the biggest restaurants in the city are. And we're going to be hosting all of the celebrity chef cooking demos on Saturday from 11:30 to 3:30. And then we're performing later that night at a dinner. I'm not exactly sure where the venue is for that, but we'll find out.
I think just the Harvest Fest dinner for Saturday night. Like, there's one event for that. Yeah, I mean, how can you not say anything just amazing about Stephanie? And you get to see all of her friends and contemporaries in the chef world are here supporting her. And we're happy to be a part of that. And it's going to be a great weekend.
There's some great people coming in from out of town. And we're going to be seeing them all weekend long. The listeners know we're talking with Ezra and Adib, the Potash twins. Now, guys, you know, and of course your fans know, they see you doing some of the television stuff. You mentioned some of the MCs, some of the hosting stuff that you're doing. Started out as musicians. How easy of a transition has it been, right, where people say, we love what you do on the music side, we love the playing, but hey, what else can you do?
So we're 100% first and foremost musicians. We've always been. We kind of got ushered into the food world by our food father, Andrew Zimmern, who is also a big
because you did like one of those 23andMe, right? And it came up that you're like 50% Zimmern.
Exactly. He's his own nationality. So he became a huge mentor to us in the food world, and we'd grown up watching him our entire lives, and he really decided to take an active role in our career.
But obviously we love food, and obviously we can talk. So all those things together kind of merged into this weird lane that we're in, which is food and music.
And we're so lucky that there's an audience of people that love music as much as we do and love food as much as we do and totally see the vision of a television show about those two worlds colliding. And our show Beats and Bites on Bravo is, we call it, it's where the intersection of music meets food, but it's more than that. It's where we get to have conversations with artists, musical artists, and chef artists about the process.
The creative process that all artists share and that musicians and chefs
have in common
and that they can articulate really well, and the food is visual, and obviously the music sounds good. So the combination of those two things really is remarkable.
I always love that perspective when you can get musicians, you know, everybody eats, right? So we've all got a kind of a voice in the food space to whatever extent, but you know, the musicians, especially if they've been around, they have traveled the country, they have places that they love, they have cuisines that they love. You know, you can't always, you know, live out of a hotel room, and you can't always live out of a restaurant, but they know stuff and they've got voices, and it's neat to kind of blend those things together. And I know even here for Lollapalooza, Graham Elliott's really elevated the scene. We've talked with him a number of times about choosing the food and the food for the bands. I mean, there's a real mesh there.
Oh yeah.
Well, I have a funny comment to make about Lollapalooza. So we performed at it last year, and it was one of the greatest musical experiences we've ever had in our entire lives. Just performing for an audience of that size was crazy. So
in
beautiful.
Chicago,
and being in Chicago. But I have a little bit of an argument to pick with Lollapalooza. Every artist, every record label person, every manager, when they play Lollapalooza, they text us to get them into Girl in the Goat and every one of these restaurants. So every time of the year when Lollapalooza hits, our phone blows up.
It comes rolling around. So,
and it's an honor to be the ambassador for those people, absolutely. And I joke about it as if it's a burden, but we're just blessed that
all of our music friends know that they have to really pull a favor. Like, they have to know that we're going to have to pull a bunch of favors to get them in there, because we're getting 20 requests during Lollapalooza to get them into all these restaurants.
I thought you were going to say that you were getting requests for the lobster corn dog, because that is something that
is that one of Graham's things?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. That just sounds like a Graham dish.
They sell so many.
I need to try a lobster corn dog. I've never had one.
It was the first. Well, he has a kind of a funny story. Eminem. was here performing a couple years ago. He had never had lobster before in his entire life. This is a guy, you know, is an amazing and acclaimed musician and all that kind of stuff. But when it comes to tastes and food, he's pretty simple. He'll have like a private jet bring Burger King to him in Tokyo, you know, that kind of thing.
And definitely M&M's on the side.
right, exactly.
Does M&M even like M&M's? Do we know? Has this been confirmed?
You're natural marketers, and I think there's something there.
Yeah, there's
right?
something there.
There's something there. Well, when it comes to marketing, you mentioned that Andrew Zimmern is one of your mentors, and he is. He is one of those. He's even like one of my mentors. I think there's a lot of people that are just fans of his career. Obviously, we've interviewed him a bunch of times, but he's always been one of those guys that's been true to what he does. He's got such an articulate voice in the food space and just the cultures, right? Mm-hmm. All the places he's been, the things he's eaten. And he's always said something. The one thing that he said to me, and this was, I don't know, 12 years ago in Aspen, he said, what you got to do is just live your brand. And he says that he was doing what he was doing before he even had a show. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And is that kind of the advice he gives to you guys?
Yeah,
totally. I can't even agree with that statement more. Like, I was thinking about it this morning. We have a responsibility to our brand, the thing that we've built, and our audience and our fans. But most importantly, we have a responsibility to ourselves to be true to who we are. And what that is we're musicians who love food. It's as simple as that. When we're performing all around the world, right after we step off the stage, the first thing we do is we look up where to go and we go eat it. And no matter if we're in China or
we're actually prepping that before the tour starts.
Yeah, oh, I mean, absolutely. And what Andrew said, and there was just an incredible New York Times feature about him 2 days ago, and I think it captured his essence perfectly. And he talks about doing exactly what you love, but there's no need to do anything more than just who you are organically. And that's one of the biggest lessons that he's taught us.
When you think about what it is that you guys are doing and you talk about some of the living of the brand side, and so you're two guys, right? You have things that music maybe doesn't ultimately in 100% define you, neither does food. You've got fans from all over the place. When it comes to the shows that people come in, do you have some people that come in and see you guys play musically but are only fans of the TV side of things, or do you have people that are more of the music fans and they're not really aware of all that other stuff?
I think the ones that are coming in buying tickets to our shows, they get the full package and they understand that, and that's why they love us even more.
It's funny because a lot of the artists that we work with in Los Angeles, they know of us just from our reputation as horn players. And then we get into the studio and they're like, we just saw your show and we didn't realize you had all that going on. And then, by the way, can we get into Alinea? Like, you know what I mean? But we definitely connect with people, our other artists from the music side. And then the food side always is discovered, and then we go have a fun meal.
I think if there's anything to describe the Potash Twins, it might be music and it might be food, but it's really just connecting with everybody on a personal level. And if the way we do it is through our music and the other way we do it is through talking about food or eating food or making food, that's another way that it comes through.
It's a big, you guys are going to be a big part front and center in a lot of food events and food situations here in Chicago. And as people get to enjoy you on television, certainly on the music side, they're going to enjoy you in person. So let's talk about it. You've got Harvest Fest. You're going to be doing that. I know you're going to be emceeing. We talked about it. Chicago Gourmet, which is really Chicago's signature kind of culinary event. You guys are going to be a big part of a great event there too.
That's going to be another amazing food and music conversion, because we have Jeff Morrow, Bruce Coleman, Duff Goldman, all these like amazing talented chefs and personalities that are also really, really good musicians.
Did you mention that we're playing Chicago blues music during that?
We're going to play the blues.
You got Tony Montuano at River Road. I mean, you got some...
It's going to be, I think that is an event not to miss.
Yeah, definitely.
First and foremost, those are great people, but we've never played together or jammed. They've rehearsed a couple times, but this is the first time people are going to see this convergence of all these chefs performing, and we're honored to be a part of that, and I think I'm just looking forward to it on a musical level and just kind of seeing where these guys are at.
And these are ultra creative people too. So as a musician, I'm curious to see how they translate that from the plate to whatever they're doing.
It is going
to
be Jeff. I've known, obviously, he's our local sandwich king, and so I wasn't super aware of his musical side. Duff, I've known for absolutely ever, and of course he plays bass, and I think that is going to be some exciting stuff. So that event is Beats, Bites, Booze, and Blues, right? mm-hmm. and that one's coming up for Chicago Gourmet. Where's the place? And we'll put the links up at WGNRadio.com for all the different events people get in and see you. And as far as social media wise, yeah. like let people know where they can see you on TV and also follow all your adventures online.
Exactly. I think where all of those things meet is at Potash Twins on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, POTASHTWINS. You can find all of those links and other fun stuff on there and videos throughout the weekend and posts, and it'll be fun to watch.
Ezra and Adiv, the Potash Twins, thanks for everything that you're doing, everything that you do on the music side, the food side. Thanks for jumping on the show today.
Dane, thank you, and as always, for having us. Love seeing you.
Hi, this is Chef Corey Morris from Vallejo in Chicago, Illinois, and you're on the road with Dane on WGN.
720 WGN on the road with Dane, live here in the Allstate Skyline Studios, high atop Chicagoland, and excited. It is that time of year again. It is the time of year for a Grand Cajon. We are lucky enough to have it here in our fair city at least one more time as the best champions from around the country converge here for the crown to be the king or queen of pork. It is going to be a great event. It's happened at City Winery on the 30th of September, and excited to have on the line with us Chef Corey Morris. You know, he has traveled the globe in experiencing all the different cuisines of so many different places: Argentina, Spain, Portugal, Italy, France. He's worked alongside some of the greats, including Iron Chef Jose Garces, and now as the chef de cuisine at Vallejo and the reigning champion of Cajon 555 here in Chicago. Corey Morris, welcome to WGN.
Thanks for having me, Dane. Really excited to talk about pork with you.
Yeah, well, you know, here, and you are a guy that can carry on that conversation. You have been in and around, involved, competing in Cajon, supporting the cause and extending that conversation for a long time at a bunch of different places, different kind of incarnations and places that you were elevating on the cuisine side, and having them participate and be a part of Cajon, and then excited, you know, I was pulling for you. It was obviously greater than the rest. And you had that opportunity to finally come out on top, and you're the champion of Cajon 555. So take a second for all those fans, all those listeners that have come to a lot of the different events and see it. What was it like to win? It's awesome.
You know, it's an incredible experience to win the event, given that I have lost it three times before. So coming out on top and really putting in a lot of work and having it pay off is just an incredible feeling.
We know that a lot of people love the event, and they, you know, go out to all the different events around the country. But I don't know that everybody understands just how much work goes into participating in Cajon. It isn't. I talked with Chef Ricardo as well. It's, you know, there's a lot of events that happen in Chicago, a lot of fundraisers where you make some bites and you support a cause and you show up at an event. But Cajon 555, Grand Cajon, certainly is totally different, right? I mean, it's a ton of work.
It's a ton of work, you know, the level of talent that you're competing against and, you know, rubbing shoulders with alone. Is, you know, a big task just to be able to compete at their level, as well as, you know, for me, having competed in a few different competitions, is every time you get a pick, it's different. You know, it's not going to be that same commodity pork that always has the same amount of fat and flavor. You know, I've worked with different hogs from a Mongolica to a Berkshire to an old Gloucestershire spot. And a wild boar, which is what I won with this year. Wow. And every pig you have to treat differently just to pay respect to the animal to maximize its flavor. So understanding the different breeds and how to maximize that is key in the competition.
I think it's one of the, either it's the goal or the side effect or one of just kind of the things that happens because of the event and so many people getting together and chefs in that conversation is heritage breed pork. People are learning what it is. And I think the goal is, and if you talk to Brady, and of course we all have, you know, the goal is to not only get America, you know, through these events to understand what it is, to want it, to want to, you know, put a little bit extra in to make sure to do it and to support farms that produce it. But also on the chef side too, I mean, it's great for you guys, right? I mean, it's a challenge, right? Because there's so many different things going on. But it's great to have people coming to the restaurant wanting it because it does, I mean, it's a superior product.
It is far superior. And, you know, you get what you pay for and everything, including food. So you're willing to pay an extra dollar or two per pound, you're going to get a phenomenal product versus something that's just so-so.
Well, I know that you're not going to tell us what you're going to do because, you know, you've got to keep, I'm sure it's in a safe somewhere close to the vest, maybe in a bunker, you know, some of the plans that you're going to spring on us for Grand Cajon. But let's talk a little bit about Baleo, the restaurant there. It's got the, I think it's Peruvian, you know, Argentinian as far as some of the flavors, so probably some flame going on. But tell the listeners a little bit about that place and what makes it special.
Baleo is a really special restaurant because we do focus on, you know, Latin American cuisine, specifically Argentina and Peru. For me, I think the two cuisines complement each other really well, just because, you know, in Argentina you have some really nice grilled meats and sausages and chimichurris and things like that, and that kind of counterbalances my menu with some of the lighter ceviches, tiraditos, and more, you know, bright preparations of food like that. So together they work in harmony really well. We have a retractable roof. We're on the 15th floor of the Kimpton Gray Hotel, just right downtown Chicago. So we have a glorious view of the skyline. And then we have different music interjections throughout the night, whether, you know, late night DJ will pop in or a three-piece jazz trio, just to kind of set the mood for the night.
Now, do you think, because, you know, this is a big event, that your experience being a part of the event in the past, certainly being a champion here in Chicago, and also being super close, you know, with Brady and the cause and, you know, the mission and a lot of the things that go on with Cajon, is that for those chefs that come in from out of town, first off, it's a home game for you, right? You're here in the city. You don't have to travel a ton, bring a bunch of stuff. You've got staff, you've got resources, you've got it right here. Plus your experience. How much do you think that may either help you, even if it's just maybe the pacing or planning out, you know, that workload for an event like that?
You know, I do have the upper hand because I don't have to travel as far, for sure. And I've always been a big supporter of the cause, either competing or not competing. I wasn't able to compete last year, but I hosted one of the chefs from Seattle who I became friends with, who's coming back as a two-time champion to compete, represent his city of Seattle. But I think, you know, it all comes down to the food and the execution. We're going to be doing three dishes apiece and with a team of two other people, which is going to be really intense. So whoever comes in the most calculated and puts out the most delicious food is going to have the upper hand, because it all comes down to flavor.
Yep, it comes down to flavor. You've got the experience, and you've got the title, you've got the belt, you've got the mojo going into it, so you know that confidence is going to be there as well. It is September 30th at City Winery here in Chicago. Grand Cajon and the 10th anniversary. I think, I'm not sure, Corey, if you've heard anything, but they're going to pull out all stops. I think there could be some special guests and some celebrity appearances, maybe a laser light show, maybe some fireworks. Who knows? It's the 10th anniversary.
They always go big. I'm sure it's going to be amazing.
All right, Corey, thanks so much. Before we let you go, give out social media. People can you know, follow you on all your adventures, kind of keep up with you as you get ready to defend your title here for Grand Cajon. Where can they find you?
They can find me at Chef Corey Morris on Twitter and Instagram. I have started putting up some of the promo stuff. We're designing some really cool Chicago-centric giveaways for the table, going after the old-style kind of logo. So hit us up, and then if you like it, stop by the table. We'll be handing out a lot of free swag.
I can't say we'll be pulling for you because I'm one of the judges, but we're pulling for you, right? Just from a hometown Chicago standpoint, we know the food is going to be great. So, Corey, thanks so much for what you're doing. Travel safe. We'll see you back here on the 30th, and thanks for jumping on the show today.
Sounds great, Dane. Thanks again. It was good talking to you.